when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And indeed, we are grateful for your presence here today. I do want to share some announcements with you. And today I'm going to go ahead and mention our prayer concern additions. You'll notice those names, Anthony Harrington. We want to continue to remember Anthony, who's been in the hospital this week. I'm not sure if Anthony's home or not right now. I know they were going to take the port out. We want to keep him in our prayers. Add the name of Cheryl Beauvais. Cheryl will be undergoing some testing this Thursday. And also, please add the name of Howard Custer. That's with a K, K-U-S-T-E-R. That is Jamie Beauvais, who you'll see at the top of our list. That is her dad, and he was diagnosed with cancer this week. And so we want to be remembering him in our prayers in a very special way. You will also note that there is a special service going to take place in our worship today. And Rebecca, I'll go ahead and give you a piece of knowledge. When you finish children's sermon, come on up here, would you? That'll be good. And in that vein, tonight we will have Journey at 4:30, but not next week, because next week FSYC will be traveling to the Durham Bulls to sing the national anthem there. If you're planning to be a part of that or you'd like to join FSYC, they're going to have a rehearsal today. You need to be a part of that to be able to sing, and you are invited and encouraged to be a part of that as well. I do want to share with you that there is a new ministry that has begun at Flat Springs. It is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And yesterday, they prepared 144 meals to put in a freezer that we have available where there's need. Sometimes we find out someone's in the hospital or coming home from the hospital, and we like to carry some food. We're going to have some available. I think there's also a box in the little kitchen to keep some other kind of goods, but those are all crock pot meals that a person can simply drop into a crock pot and in 4 hours have a meal. And we actually bought one here at the church so we can drop it in and actually take one the first night warm and ready to go, and then give them some more to keep them moving through a recovery or if someone has special needs. So I'm excited about the hand-on ministries that our church is doing and appreciate all those folks. Man, if you've seen that kitchen buzzing, man, those folks can do some stuff. It was amazing. It was wonderful. There are a couple of things for you to pick up. There's a nominating report, and there's also a deacon covenant that our deacons have been using for many years, but we recognize we've never adopted it as the ongoing church covenant for deacons, and so we wanted to do that, and so we will do that at this coming business meeting, which is this coming Sunday. We are going to make a big proposal about the possibility of changing the time of the business meeting so we don't run into Sunday school quite as badly as we sometimes do. So there'll be discussion on that next week. We will meet at 9:45, our normal business meeting, this coming Sunday, but we'll have some discussion about that. Any other announcements need to come before us? If not, Jesus said, worship me in spirit and in truth. Today, we need to hear from God. Would you take these few moments as our organ will play and our choir will assemble in, and then we will call ourselves into a time of worship that we might experience his presence and his loving power as he changes us and grants us his peace. Take a moment to prepare. God, your name is wonderful, and you are our Lord. Today, Lord, help us deal with our sin problem. Help us deal with our relationships. Help us deal with the things in life that often challenge us. Help us worship you today and praise your name above every name. And God, would you take these next few moments and just like a teacher in a class might enlighten the mind, God, as we praise you, would you enlighten our spirit that we might indeed feel your presence and know that you are our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our first hymn is number 135. I would like for us to sing this antiphonally. Now that means, first verse, I want this side to sing the first phrase, "What can wash away my sins?" This side, repeat, a refrain, "Nothing but the blood of Jesus." First phrase, second phrase. Second time through, we're going to do first phrase over here, second phrase over here. Third verse, we're going to do ladies first, men repeat, refrain to them. So let's stand as we sing. Fourth time, we'll sing it all, everybody. Get you awake this morning. All right, here we go.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Everybody.
Oh, precious is the blood that makes me white as snow.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day to come into your house and hear your word. Father, we thank you for your Son Jesus and the blood that he shed for us. Father, we ask you that you might be with those that are sick and hurting and need your healing and soothing hand. We ask that you be with Gary today as he brings the message. Father, if there's one here today who does not know you as their Lord and Savior, that today may be the day their heart opens. We ask that you bless these tithes and these offerings to further thy kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. How's everyone? Y'all good? Good. Okay. So, who can tell me what I got right here? What's in it? A puzzle. Right. Okay. So, how do I put it together? What? All the edges. Right. So, you got to match it up. It's usually best to start with the edges. So, let's say I have this little section right here. And this little section right here, okay? How would I put it together? Just try to match it up? No? What if it doesn't fit? That doesn't fit right there. That doesn't fit there either. What does it need? It needs more pieces? Do you think there's a special piece that will maybe make it go from going this way to this way? What piece is that? The corner piece, right. So, if I have a corner piece, then this one will connect there, right? And then that will come there. So then, instead of being separate like it was, it gets joined together by that one piece. Yeah. So, why do you think that we're talking about puzzles today? What does all this stuff mean? Any ideas? What do you think? Jesus brings everyone together. Exactly. That is so good. So, we see, you see the puzzle, some of y'all can see it. And like Miss Emily just said, the corner piece is like Jesus. So, you know, we have this one piece right here and this one piece here, and they're different, okay? So maybe let's say that one is me, this could be me, and this could be you. We're different. We have different families, we have different hair, we have different voices, everything's different. But when we have this common piece right here that we both fit into of Jesus, then we're brought together, we become connected through Jesus. Yeah, so that's a really cool thing. That brings us together and it unifies us, which means it makes us one. And because of that, we get to become a part of the bigger picture. Just like putting all of these pieces together will form the picture that the puzzle will make, we get to be a part of that and how Jesus is holding it together. He joins us together and he supports us. He connects us. And he's someone that we can build on and grow from because we're united in him. And it talks about that in the Bible. So I'm going to read a little passage for you. It's from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. And it says, "Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord." So a cornerstone, like I said in the Bible, is a little different than a corner piece of a puzzle because you can build on it. But this is similar in the fact that we are all joined from it and it brings us all together like Jesus does. So we're all different. We have different gifts and different things that we have to offer, right? We're not all the same. But we are joined together by the common piece of Jesus. And we can be built on him and connected with everyone else through him. He gives us strength, and he helps us to grow. And we can be a part of that bigger picture that he has in store for our lives, like the big picture of the puzzle. Jesus is our cornerstone, our corner piece, and we are stronger when we are built on him and grow in him. Can we remember that this week? Yeah. Okay, I'm going to pray for us. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for each child here, Lord. Thank you for how much you love every single one of us. Thank you that you connect us and unite us all, and that we can thank you for bringing us together. Help us to always grow on you and be strong in you. We love you a lot. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys.
I made notes because I was nervous. First off, this is Rebecca's last official Sunday. She's going to be with us still some in youth and helping out with Bible studies. Yay. but this is her last official Sunday. So we wanted to thank you. Obviously, you've been a huge blessing. The youth, I know, have enjoyed you. You got to meet all of our rising sixth graders, which was wonderful. And we certainly wish you the best. We have a couple of things. These are the cards from congregation. There may be more to come. Those of you who didn't get yours put into the basket in the atrium, there's still time. So we have those for you. And then we also have something. Since you're traveling, we knew that stuff wasn't good, but we thought maybe a little something that you could take would be nice. Thanks.
Just take our hymnals. And after I get my page turned back, number 140, Down at the Cross. Let's stand as we sing, please. Listen now to the words of the psalmist. The Lord's eyes are on those who fear him, on those who wait with hope for his mercy, to rescue their souls from death and keep them alive during a famine. We wait for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him, our hearts find joy. In his holy name, we trust. Let your mercy rest on us, O Lord, since we wait with hope for you. Pray with me.
Lord, we're back. We've lived another week. We faced some challenges last Sunday we never thought we'd face. We won some. We lost some. And here we are, back in your holy presence. Asking again, Lord, that you fill our cup until it runs over, that out of the abundance we'll bless other people you'll put in our path this week. We come to ask your forgiveness where we failed, those things we shouldn't have done that we did, those things we left undone we shouldn't have. We come, Lord, not saying we're going to live exactly the same way this week as we did last week, not trying to change, not trying to hear from you more often, not trying to love you more deeply and to serve you better. We come instead saying, Lord, strengthen us, that we might try. Encourage us that we might do better. And bless our efforts. Change is hard, O God. You know how you created us? We are creatures of habit. And Lord, sometimes it's hard. But all things are possible with you. All things. And so, Lord, those of us that are parenting, we pray for your help in being better parents. Those of us who are married, we pray you strengthen us that we might be better husbands, better wives. Those of us that live in communities varied and different, we pray, oh God, that you might let our light so shine before others that they may see you in us and the works we do and glorify you who art in heaven. We are grateful for the journey to travel together as a church in difficult waters, on a difficult road, in difficult times. And all the metaphors fall away. Lord, it's tough. It's tough in the ever-changing culture because our culture is changing in some ways rapidly. And people still need you, and your word never changes. And so, Lord, here we are again, lifting our cup in the shadow of the cross and asking you to fill it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, choir. An unclouded day. What tremendous promises God has made. I don't always remember to do this, but you could. Go ahead and mark your hymn book for page 134. Jesus Paid It All, our hymn of closing and our hymn of decision. And then open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Well, first of all, I was blessed today to have a chance to share with Facing Life. And some of them can't even raise their hands, probably. But if you were born, if you were not born, but if you had were already born, if you were alive, I'll say it that way, in November of 1987, raise your hand. I'm seeing some of my seniors that aren't sure, but you were. You were. Okay. You can transfer. You remember what happened? November 1987? Well, maybe that'll help keep you interested in the sermon as we go. I'll tell you before we get done. There was tremendous animosity in ancient Israel. The broad scope was whoever was Jewish, and then everybody else, whoever wasn't. And the definition that they're called, among many others, but the polite definition is Gentiles. You and I would be Gentiles. And to say that there was animosity, I read that there was an inscription that some believe might have been found on one of the walls in the ancient temple. And this was supposedly discovered by archaeologists in 1871. I didn't snoop it to make sure it's true. But I'm sure the words were true. It said that if any Gentile shall cross this wall in the temple and move to the next level, it is their own fault that they brought the death sentence upon them. That's pretty strong, isn't it? That's pretty strong. And if you are a student of the ancient temple, you'll know that it was built with an outer wall that anyone could go in. And then the next wall, only the Jews could go in. Only Jews. And then the next wall, only circumcised men of the faith could go in. And then in the next wall, only the priest could go. And then in the center of the temple was the Holy of Holies. And only the high priest could go there. And he could only go once a year. That's just reference for the text we're about to read in Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to begin to read in verse 11, and we'll read through verse 22. If you're able, would you stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's Word? What is a help for disciples? The experiences of life and living. The good, the bad, and the ugly. They all shape us into who we are. I begin to read in verse 11. Therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at the time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near. How? By the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. For he has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. By abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of two, and so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body, how? Through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. Powerful words. And he came and he preached peace to you who were afar off, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the corner piece. Rebecca, the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, would you do a little remodeling in our hearts today? Maybe take some pictures down. Maybe move some. Maybe add some. And Lord, maybe, just maybe, possibly, there might be some walls that need to come down. Speak to us. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. God can change our experiences. I read of a woman who had a tremendous transformation by her conversion experience. And one day she was giving testimony. She said, "I'm so glad that I've got religion now. I had an uncle that I used to hate so much, and I vowed I'd never go to his funeral, but now I'd be happy to go anytime." I'll let that one sink in a minute. Well, we know what she meant. Walls. As we look back in our life, there may be walls. I remember an illustration Joel Gregory used years and years ago about a king passing through a land. And when he came to one of his castles, and in those days, kings would have numerous castles. They might have a winter castle in the warmer climate and a summer in the cooler places. And so he was traveling through his kingdom, and he came to one of his castles, and he noticed that the wall around the castle, you can see the moat, and then the wall, and then the bridge to come down, and let you, and he noticed that the wall had been destroyed. It had been just torn down. So he called the steward, the man that was in charge of his castle, and asked him, "What's happened?" And he said, "Oh, well, you know, we've had some battles, and some of the walls got loose, and some of the folks took some of the stones to fix their homes, and we had a creek that we needed to dam up, and we didn't have any stones, and we used some of the stones for that." And he said, "I tell you what, the king did. I'll be back in a year. And when I come back, that better be the finest wall in my kingdom." "Yes, sire," was the reply of the steward. A year passed and the king returned. And a long way off, he saw a wall taller than any wall in his kingdom. And the more he entered, the more impressed he was with the wall. Before entering the kingdom, he circled the wall. And it was, without a doubt, the most splendid wall. The most splendid wall in all his kingdom. They gave the word, "The king is here, lower the gate." And they lowered the gate. And the king rode into the courtyard. Only to be shocked to find the castle was gone. There was no castle. "What happened to my castle?" The steward said, "Master, you said you wanted the finest wall and the finest stones in all the kingdom were in your castle. And so we took the stones of the castle to build the wall." Profound, isn't it? Sometimes we can tear down our very lives to build walls. Christ was in the business of tearing down the walls of hostility, our text says. I love that passage, that he, in his own strength, brought us peace, tore down the walls of hostility. I started to ask you to raise your hand if you had offended anybody this week. But then I was afraid I might have to change my sermon to lying if nobody raised their hands. And more than likely, none of us set off to offend, to build a wall, to hurt someone. Maybe there's some walls in the past. Some walls that we built long ago. So long ago, we forgot we built them. But they're still there, and they may be some of those statements that will begin. If you want to know if you've got any walls, there may be some folks you'll say, I'm not going to their funeral. That could be a wall. There may be some statements that you, I don't care, but I won't. That could be a wall. It could be a place where a wall's been built. For just a moment today, let's look at the before experience and then the after experience and then what I'm calling to end it today with the now experience. What's happening right now? The before experience was before we were disciples. He says, therefore, remember that at one time you were separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise. One day, you were not a people, we might say. One day, you were lost, is what we used to say. We talked about lost people, people who were not Christian, who had never become a disciple of Christ. Sometimes remembering that can help us understand where we're going. I think that's why Jesus wants us to do communion. I think that the idea of coming and taking that piece of bread and that cup and holding it in our hands and doing what he told us to remember is very important. To remember that sin cost Christ his life. Your sin, my sin. That's why Jesus bled. That's why the cross is holy. There was a wall between us and God, and it separated hope. How many of you figured out November 1987 by now? I bet some of you have. You can tell me at the door. 1949, when the Allied forces had defeated the Axis forces, we had a strange alliance at that time, the United States and most of Europe, including the Soviet Union, were on one side. And Germany and Japan, and to some degree Italy, were on the other. And when the war was over and Nazi Germany had been defeated, the question came, with what shall we do with Germany? And later, what shall we do with Japan? And so it was decided that Berlin, the capital city of Germany, would be divided down the middle. There'd be an East Berlin, and there'd be a West Berlin. And a wall was built north to south, down the middle of the town. And through the years that followed, people, families were separated by the wall. For a short time, there was travel back and forth, but then the Soviet Union said no more travel, and they put guards, and people lost their lives trying to get over that wall to go see family. For years it stood, and it was a dividing place. It was one of those moments where we'd won, but maybe not really. Finally, in 61, West Berlin, the Germans took over their own land, but they were a communist country, and they remembered what the Soviet Union had taught them, and so they continued to keep it out. You may remember a speech that then President Reagan gave, and one famous line that is quoted from him many times even today. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. And it was in November of 1987 that the East German government held a press conference and lifted travel restrictions between the two Germanies, and Germany for the first time was whole. People danced. It was public news as that wall was torn down. You saw all kind of folks on both sides beating that wall down with sledgehammers. What a powerful thought. Go Google it if you never experienced it. It's a powerful moment. Walls coming down. I remember when I was 12 years old and I didn't know I had a wall in my life. I didn't know that my sin was separating me from God. I'd been singing, Jesus loves me, this I know, since I was this high. But when I was 12, I began to recognize that all the story kind of came together. You know when all the story kind of comes together? When all the fate kind of hits you in the face, and you realize and you recognize that although I had sung about what can wash away our sins, nothing but the blood of Jesus, you know what I was singing? What can wash away y'all's sins? Y'all. Did y'all catch that? Y'all's. Y'all. Not me. Not me. Not my sin. Your sin. Y'all put Jesus on the cross. Not me. I'm a good guy. I'm a Cub Scout. I'm a good guy. I didn't put Jesus on the cross. But at 12, Raymond Head, preaching revival, Chattanooga, Second Baptist Church, 1400 Main Street, Chattanooga. Sitting about where Mark is sitting right now. And the story came together. And tears began to roll down a 12-year-old boy's cheeks as he began to recognize what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And God began to tear down a wall. He used my confession as the hammer. He used my love that poured out in ways I had never experienced as the wrecking ball to break that wall of sin down. What can wash away our sins? The cross was the bulldozer that shoved that wall away. I love what Paul says as he writes this letter in verse 14. He says, speaking of Christ, for he himself is our peace. Do you have peace today? Really? I read a poem by Henry Van Dyke. With eager heart and will on fire, I fought to win my great desire. Peace shall be mine, I said. But life grew bitter in the weary strife. My soul was tired and my pride was wounded deep. To heaven I cried, God grant me peace or I must die. The dumb stars glittered, no reply. Broken at last, I bowed my head, forgetting all myself and said, whatever comes, His will be done. And in that moment, peace was won. And in that moment, peace was won. Randy prayed, if there's one here today who doesn't know Christ, in the pardon and forgiveness of your sins, today could be such a wonderful day. Remember the before. Remember how you were. And let God continue to mold you into what I call the after. Christ tore down that wall, and like the people of Germany, rejoice. We can rejoice. I remember rejoicing as a 12-year-old boy in Christ's grace and in His forgiveness. And for the first time, my spirit felt a way it had never felt before. God's peace. God's peace is our hope. Have you accepted the cross? Here's what I've noticed about me. Maybe not you, but I've noticed it about me. I remember when God tore down that big wall of sin that separated me from Him. And I remember how relieved I was. But it seems like every now and then, and I can't really figure out why, I seem to go find some of those stones. Those sin stones. And maybe just over in a corner, usually not on Sunday mornings during these couple of hours. But some other times, and like a child playing at the creek, I just start to stack a few stones on top of each other, those sin stones. Are you with me with my metaphor? Oh, the wall's been destroyed. But in my afterness, I must stay keenly aware that if I'm not spiritually careful. If I'm not spiritually careful, I'll start to play with sin again. How about you? Which leads me into my now experience. This may be a weird way of asking it. How is your salvation affecting you today? Is that a weird way of asking? If we follow Paul's metaphor of the wall and a living stone house that he says we're being built up, you could almost decide that what he's really talking about is taking the stones of a wall, the reverse of that story I told you at the beginning about the kingdom where the house was torn down to build the wall. But instead now, it's we tear down the wall to build the house. Now that doesn't go perfectly, but work with me with my metaphor, would you? Work with me. You see what I'm saying? I had never heard, and I live in the brick capital of the world, and I'd never heard of clinker bricks. Anybody here know what clinker bricks are? One hand. We should all move, folks. We don't need to live in the brick capital of the world. Well, clinker bricks, and Lewis can correct me if I'm wrong, because all I know about them, and I found out today reading, are either bricks that were burnt too long in the kiln and got discolored, or they're ill-shaped. They're not the kind of brick. I got a word for them. They're rejects. Amen? They're rejects. They are the bad bricks. They're the bricks that don't work. How many of you remember when there was no popcorn shrimp when you went to a restaurant? Anybody besides me can remember that? Yeah. You know what popcorn shrimp used to be? Trash. That's what it used to be. They used to throw them things for the seagulls, and they only brought in the jumbos, you know? I remember when you went and ordered shrimp, there wasn't jumbo, medium, and popcorn. You just ordered shrimp. Somebody figured out trash was a treasure. Somebody figured out the trash was a treasure. Somebody figured out that clinker bricks, the rejects, if you found the right person, that person that wanted to be a little bit different in their community. You know that person? And with a master mason, even the clinker bricks could be useful. I remember reading a story that back in the 80s, there was a Presbyterian church in New York State, before somebody had figured out clinker bricks could be good, who made an executive decision they would build their church with the rejected bricks. Isn't that powerful? Are you ahead of me? You see where that's taking us? Isn't that powerful? Oh, structurally they were fine. They just were ugly. They just didn't have the right dimensions. They just had been burnt too long. But in the hands of a right mason, they could make a beautiful building. Isn't that what God's done? You and I, I'm glad y'all are sitting down. We're clinker bricks, you and I. We're clinker bricks. We're not perfect. You measure hard enough, long enough, you'll find a side that's not right. You'll find we've either been in the keel too long or not quite long enough. We're just not perfect. And God, like He did a 12-year-old boy in Chattanooga, Tennessee, so many years ago, tore down a wall and started building a house. Our experiences, the good, the bad, the perfect and the imperfect, the right and the wrong, they all make us what God wants us as long as we keep allowing Him to be the master mason of our life. And so I conclude this morning with this question. How's our salvation affecting us now? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, in this moment of choice and decision, in this moment where we have heard Your voice, we have sung praises of Your blood washing away our sin, we have remembered, or we are wondering, if the cross can tear down the wall of sin that separates us from You, and that we can have our name recorded in the Lamb's book and not be an alien or a stranger anymore. So either we celebrate that, or we're curious about it today. God, would You allow us to make those kind of decisions that would make us strong? For we are aware that the cost of discipleship is high, and Jesus paid it all. That forgiveness from our sins was pricey, and Jesus paid it all. That our home in heaven is free to us, but it costs dearly, and Jesus paid it all. This morning, Lord, as we look at our before and then our after, and now we ask ourselves that question, how is my walk with You affecting my daily walk in life? Hear us as we answer it, as we sing, Jesus paid it all. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is page 134. Indeed, Jesus paid it all. This morning, if God is speaking to your heart and you need to make some decision for Him, public or private, would you, as we stand together and sing.
Thank you. be seated for 1 second. Come. Becca, she didn't know exactly what we were going to do today, and at the moment we did it, she needed a moment. She'd like to share a word with us.
I would just like to say with all my heart, thank you to every single one of you guys. What a blessing it has been to have you as my church family and to have gotten to serve here this summer. I love your kids. I love the youth. And I've just had such a blast being with them, learning from them, and being challenged by them. They're really incredible. And keep raising them up because they got a lot to offer. So thank you so much for loving me, for encouraging me, and especially for praying for me. And please continue to do so. And I'm excited to continue to share my journey with you. So thank you.
I've asked Becca to join me. She's going to be gone. She's leaving Monday. For some reason, she wants to go down to South Carolina, a little university down there. I don't know why, Clemson or something like that, where she graduated from. But then she's going on to Georgia for the training, which is physical, emotional, and spiritual, to get ready to run the world race. And she'll be down there for 10 days. Then she'll be back in September. She's going to help with our. She kind of likes you guys. I don't know what it is about y'all. Y'all just are likable, though. And so as a volunteer, she's going to be helping us. I'm going to ask her to stand with me at the door. I know you'll want to come by. We are, for the next two Sundays, going to keep the basket out there. If you'd like to drop a card in, feel free to do that and encourage her. We'll probably get those to her when she gets back. And we will covet to pray with you for the 11 months and afterwards. I'm excited about what God is doing in her life, and I think there's some special chapters about to be written. Stand with me. And now as we leave this place to go out into God's world, may we do so in His peace and in His power and in His abiding presence. And may God help us to be the people who know He paid it all, to share with the people who need to know He paid it all. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for Becca and her walk with you. And as we pray for her on this last Sunday that she is with us as our intern, we covenant with you, oh God, to begin to pray for her for what's next. And not only her, but for our youth and for our children and for each other as we strive to be your people in the midst of all your people. Thank you for the experiences of life that shape us into the people we are. And may we continue to allow you to be our Master Mason. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.